Ladies and gentlemen, dyslexia is one of the biggest problems in our public schools. It is the sickness that won't go away. It is, I believe, a contrived problem. And the best thing I think I can do for everyone is to do my short take on this, 10 minutes, give or take, to try to help everyone understand that it's not a real thing and why that is true. All right, many books and probably hundreds of articles have been written about dyslexia. Typically, these articles are long, fairly technical, and based on dubious science. The average parent has little chance of learning much from such articles. I'm going to take the opposite course. I'll be brief. I'll present the message as lucidly as I can. And I'm going to quote a leading expert who spent decades studying this subject. Now, here's the first thing everyone needs to know. Dyslexia is just a fancy word for difficulty with reading. And what would be the main cause of that difficulty? Bottom line, the education establishment insists on using methods that do not work. Therefore, the children don't learn to read because they are not taught to read. They're taught lots of stuff that gets in the way. Naturally, the schools want to hide this sick reality, so they need an all-purpose excuse for their failure. Here it is. Your kid was born messed up, and that's the problem, so stop complaining. It's tough being a parent of a child who is having this problem. Now, let's look carefully at this weird little fraud. The authorities don't teach children to read in the most efficient way, i.e. phonics. Predictably, a great percentage of children end up subliterate or semi-literate. Then the authorities say, sorry, not our fault. Your kid was messed up way before he got to our schools. Stop whining. Now, summing up, the education establishment has conducted more than 40 studies comparing phonics to sight words. Phonics almost always wins, or wins every time. Might be a few borderline cases. This debate would be over today if our corrupt media would do an honest job. I've been waiting for them to do that for many years. Now here's another grand summing up. Reading experts such as Rudolf Flesch, and he's the guy who wrote the two Why Johnny Can't Read books, concluded that genuine dyslexia is very rare. 1 in 500 or something like that, much like blindness or mental illness. Now, the usual situation is imitation dyslexia, that is, dyslexia-like symptoms which are caused by bad instruction in our public schools and then mislabeled. In any case, it's not caused by a deficiency in your child. Now, the simplest way for me to explain this strange hoax is to string together some quotes from the illustrious Samuel Blumenfeld. His years were 1927 to 2015. I want everyone to know this name and this man, as he is one of our few real educators and one of the few people you can trust completely. Now, years ago, he wrote a very long article called Creating Dyslexia. It's as easy as pie. In other words, Blumenfeld wants to mock the alleged complexity that the education establishment likes to wallow in. No, Blumenfeld insists, this con is as easy as A, B, C. Now, let's start by meeting the famous Edward Dolch, whose name is now attached to bad technique in the phrase Dolch words. Now, Dolch was, and now I'm starting to quote Blumenfeld, a professor of education in the early 1920s who composed a list of the most frequently used words. It was thought that if children learned several hundred of these words by sight, that is, by whole word recognition, before they even knew the alphabet or the letter sounds, they would have a jump start on learning to read. But what Dolch did not realize, or he kept it carefully hidden, is that once the children began automatically to look at English printed words as whole configurations, just like Chinese characters, the child would develop a holistic reflex or a habit that would then become a block against seeing our alphabetic words in their phonetic structure. Let me just pause a minute and sum that up. In other words, they suggest something that's supposedly going to help you learn to read with phonics, but it finishes phonics off. Isn't that clever? Now let's meet Professor Walter Dearborn of Harvard, who wrote in 1940, and I'm quoting now from Samuel Blumenfeld. Again, the principle to which we have used to explain the acquisition of a sight vocabulary is, of course, the one suggested by Pavlov's well-known experiments on the conditioned reflex, or response. This is as it should be. The basic process involved in conditioning and in learning to read is the same. Now, here is another aside. I'm sorry, I have to interject. This is utter quackery. He's trying to say that the way the dog learns to salivate when it hears the bell is the same as when a child learns a sight word and sees the word street and says street. That is such a stretch. But they built a whole epidemic, so to speak, on this. All right, Blumenfeld continues. But the development of a holistic reflex, as described by Professor Dearborn, creates an obstacle to the development of the phonetic reflex. It is this conflict or collision of reflexes that causes dyslexia. Undoubtedly, the professors of reading were well aware that this conflict would develop, for they were acquainted with Pavlov's experiments in artificially creating behavioral disorganization by creating a conflict of reflexes. We know from the experiments conducted by Pavlov and Yuria in the Soviet Union in the 1920s and 1930s that the psychologists had developed the means to artificially create behavioral disorganization. I submit that the symptoms of dyslexia developed in perfectly normal, physically healthy school children are the results of a collision of reflexes that occur as the child advanced to the second and third grades. This is how it works. The child is given a sight vocabulary to memorize before he has acquired any phonetic knowledge of our writing system. Here, and this is my opinion, we reach one of the most important things you can ever learn about the entire field of education or reading. I'm quoting from Blumenfeld again. But when the child reaches the second and third grades, where the number of words to be learned taxes the memory beyond its capacity, the child experiences a learning breakdown somewhat akin to a nervous breakdown. When the child is then taught some phonics, some letter sounds, as a means of assisting the sight process, the child experiences a conflict or collision of reflexes and develops dyslexia, a disorganization of behavior. And that is the inability to see the phonetic structure of our words. By teaching this 5-year-old child a sight vocabulary before he could master the letter sounds, he was being put on the road to dyslexia. This is particularly harmful because the child's brain at this age is still in the process of organizing its patterns of thinking, its cerebral habits, habits that are very difficult to unlearn later in life. And that can be confirmed by all the people who have dyslexia. Today, millions of American children are being taught to memorize sight words before they even know the alphabet, let alone the letter sounds. Now, this is Blumenfeld summing up his analysis. Thus, you can see how easy it is to cause dyslexia. Simply have your child memorize a sight vocabulary and develop a holistic reflex. That professors of education have perfected the process indicates that they know how it works and what it results in. That is why parents are never warned about teaching their children sight vocabularies. It's a vital part of the dumbing down process that underlies curriculum development in our education system. and is supported by professional associations, journals, publishers, federal programs and funding, and the establishment as a whole. That's the end of quotes from Blumenfeld. I have to say, my feeling, isn't that beautiful stuff? And consider that the professors knew all of it in 1928 because Dr. Samuel Orton, a distinguished neurologist, released his extensive study of phonics versus hold word. Remember, 1928, Orton concluded two things: sight words don't work, and the kids forced to learn them would be damaged for life. All of which explains why, in his last book, The Crimes of the Educators, Blumenfeld stated our national predicament in 6 or 8 words. K-12 education is a criminal enterprise from top to bottom. Dyslexia organizations like to claim that dyslexics have a different brain patterns, and that's the big problem. Blumenfeld and phonics experts, such as Don Potter, claim that the sight word memorization creates those altered brain patterns, and that is the big problem. Here we are reminded that our media are actually on the wrong side and don't bother telling parents what they need to know. It's a safe bet. You have never seen anything in your newspaper explaining why dyslexia is best understood as a trick or a psyops. Reading and phonics should be thought of as more or less synonymous. That's the way it was from the time of the Hebrews and the Greeks forward, starting around because they started the phonetic languages, and also Arabic. Now, starting around 1930, just after Orton released his study, our education experts foisted look-say on the country, and we have had an illiteracy crisis ever since. Now, if you only share one podcast in your life, this is a good choice. To help you can continue research on this, I made a PDF of the transcript of this podcast that includes some links, and that is on this site. So, ladies and gentlemen, that concludes this very important thing. I can't tell you how profoundly perverse it is that professors of education gang up and sustain this thing for 70 years. Just thinking about it makes me think, my God, the wrong people were winning the war a long time ago. Okay, thank you for visiting. Overview. Let's Fix Education explores 7 of my favorite themes. First, this podcast is a meditation on what I call the K-12 crime scene. So many destructive ideas. Understanding them is the key to fixing them. 2, by doing that, we will have better schools at less cost. 3, nothing much changes decade to decade. The big questions of the 1930s were the big questions of the 1960s and the 1990s. Any subject we discuss can easily intersect with any other subject. Most people instinctively want traditional education, but the education establishment fills classrooms with progressive gimmicks. The result is that we have a standoff, and that's why you run into the same ideas over and over. 4. The big brains in education keep telling students, don't bother memorizing this or that. You can look it up later. B.B. King, the great guitarist, is much smarter. He said, the beautiful thing about learning is nobody can take it away from you. 5. Lenin's ghost wanders through our school system. The hard left thinks big. If they have to kill millions of people to build their perfect society, that's okay. Same goes for dumbing down millions of students. Totalitarians want power. They will do anything to get it. 6. If we are going to survive, we have to take each child to his or her limit. As it is, we are creating millions of subeducated students from K right through college. 7. Analyzing education, especially dysfunctional education, is a lot more intellectually interesting than most people suppose. You'll enjoy this. Finally, P.S. My book, Saving K-12, runs parallel to everything discussed on this podcast. I also have an education site, improve-education.org, with 70 articles that complement everything discussed here. And I have hundreds of articles on the internet. Enter a topic in Google with my full name, Bruce Dietrich Price, and let Google make suggestions. Thank you for visiting.